Blog Talk Radio.
Audience, you have tuned in to another exciting show of the Just to Freedom Radio. This show's producer is none other than the dynamic Miss Leslie Gist. She is the oil that keeps this engine running. She's an author and an all-around fantastic sister. I am your host, Jamal Brown, and we have for you another round of exciting interviews, hot topics, and things that make you say, Today is Sunday, May the 22nd. The time on the East is 7 p.m. Time here on the West, where I'm at, is 4 p.m. I'm just going to jump right into it and let you in the audience know that we have a dynamic guest on. He is an individual who has done extensive research on the life and legacy and lessons from George Washington Carver. I'm speaking of none other than Mr. John Atkins. Mr. Atkins, are you on the line with us?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic, fantastic. How's everything this fine Sunday afternoon?
Everything is fine, Jamal. I'm glad you invited us to share with you the master scientist, who I call Dr. George Washington Carver's work, and actually how we fit into our company, Elements for Nature, fits into his whole legacy.
Awesome, awesome. And you said you gave him the proper justice, and that you've done so by bestowing the title of a master to this truly masterful man who did some masterful things. We'll talk about him in a second, but let me start off by asking you, tell us in the listening audience, who is Mr. John Atkins?
Well, actually, it's pronounced Jan the J is pronounced as a Y. So it's,
okay, my apologies, sir.
That's all right, no problem. I'm actually a graduate of Tuskegee University now, but at the time that Carver was there, it was called Tuskegee Institute.
Perfect.
And I'm the founder of Elements for Nature, which was a company founded in 2008. By me and a brother who went to school with me at Tuskegee, Yasir Khalil.
Okay.
Just to give you the contact information, we have a website. We're basically a web-based company, and the website address is www.elements-EWA.com.
EWA.com. Fantastic, fantastic. Tell us more about what the company does.
Basically, Elements for Nature was we formed it. Number one, the purpose of it was to keep the legacy of Dr. George Washington Carver alive.
Mm-hmm.
That was the number one focus. The number two reason why we established the company is to a lot of people don't realize that Dr. George Washington Carver still have products out there that's on the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically works 200 times better than what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
The number two focus is creating jobs, trying to create jobs specifically in the black community by selling his products.
Okay.
And as you know, or if your listening audience does not know, Carver inventions revolutionized the South economy
mm-hmm.
during the time of the Depression stages.
Not only revolutionized, but actually saved the South and the whole U.S. economy, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm,
So Elements for Nature is basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to revitalize the black economy by selling his products. Specifically.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm on the site right now looking at the large list of products that you all have available. Again, that website for those in the listening audience, we have the number 4, Elements, ELEMENTS, hyphen or dash, E as in Edward, W as in William, A as in Africa, F as in Frank.com. You can go there and check out some of the products that we're mentioning right now.
Yeah, so basically the Elements for Nature was set up primarily for those two main functions. We also on if you go to the site, we're also on Facebook too. So it's a Facebook link on there, as well as you can call us at 202-450-5498 Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But just to give you an idea of what type of products that we currently sell, the probably the most popular product that we sell right now is the George Washington Carver Rum and Oil.
Okay.
And that's primarily for aches and pains. There's 27 different ailments that it addresses.
Mm.
And you can go to the website. It's listed on the website.
And now let me just jump in here right quick. These products that you sell have the actual ingredients, the actual directions, the actual steps put together by master teacher George Washington Carver himself. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
These are his original formulas. And just to give you a history of how we were able to sell those, I think it's important that Dr. Carver, his last 8 years working down in Tuskegee, was working with Dr. Curtis as his primary lab assistant. And Dr. Curtis was more business. He was more business acclimated he was trying to convince Carver to put his products out on the marketplace.
Mm.
And before they, but you know, Carver was with it before they were able to do that. Dr. Carver died. So what happened was Dr. Curtis left Tuskegee when Dr. Carver died, moved to Detroit, and established Curtis Labs,
okay,
which became the largest black-owned company in the United States. So during the period of 1944. 1999, when Curtis retired, he had two daughters. He wanted to basically pass the company to them, and they didn't want any parts of it. So he eventually sold it to Dr. Faye Williams, who was our partner, and who currently owns all original formulas that Dr. Carver had, as well as Dr. Curtis assisted Dr. Carver in those last 8 years.
That is some pretty deep stuff there. That's some pretty deep stuff.
So that's how we were able to sell his products with the original formulas.
That's again, that is interesting. Let's move the conversation forward. Tell me tell me about your partner that you have, and I also want to hear something about the research and the role of clay. My producer was talking with me offline and told me to be sure to engage in that conversation with you.
Okay, well, let me basically introduce the co-founder of Elements for Nature, Yasir Khalil, who is also the Carver researcher.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome to the conversation. It's good to have you.
Oh, I'm glad to be invited. Yes, I am. My name is Yasir Khalil, and as Jan mentioned, I am the co-founder of Elements for Nature, and also I am the founder and curator of the George Weston Carver Experience Traveling Museum and Exhibit.
Okay. Tell us more about the exhibit and where it's gone and what sort of things are involved with that.
Okay, well, the exhibit actually started January 2010.
Okay.
And what we wanted to do was highlight the legacy and extend the legacy of Dr. George Weston Carver. So far, we have had several exhibits. Our first exhibit was the Black History Showcase in Philadelphia, PA. And at the first showcase, over 10,000 people were able to see the exhibit. And the second exhibit we did was in Gaithersburg, Maryland, at the Black Memorabilia Showcase. And I'm thinking it was over 2,000 people who saw the exhibit there at the Black History Showcase, at the Black Memorabilia Showcase in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Okay.
From there, we went to the USDA, where we presented to the USDA for their Civil Rights Commission annual event that they do in Maryland. This was in Maryland, in Annapolis, Maryland. And we were invited back in June, the 1st of June, to do a diversity day, to do a presentation. And from what I understand, we would be the only African-Americans presenting at the diversity day.
Oh, that's a significant honor.
Right. So basically, like I said, we highlight Dr. Carver's legacy and life on the panels that we use, 20 by 30 panels. So we start from his birth in 1864, and we go all the way through his legacy up until he died in 1943.
Awesome, awesome stuff, awesome stuff. Tell me, gentlemen, either one of you are free to answer, what is among the many contributions and outstanding details of Dr. George Weston Carver, what is one detail of his life that stands out and holds a special place in your minds and in your hearts about Dr. Carver?
Well, what stands out in my mind was his commitment. He stated that, I'm paraphrasing, that his mission was to be the greatest good to the greatest number of his people as he
mm-hmm.
possibly could. And that mission was to the man farther is down, the one horse farmer. So when he went to Tuskegee on October the 8th, 1896, his mission was to bring the one horse farmer or the sharecropper from a state of semi-slavery to a state of self-sufficiency and respectability. And that was his mission, and he stayed true to his mission throughout his 47-year tenure at Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
So his commitment, he had an opportunity. You know, as many might know, Carver had a master's degree in botany and agriculture from Iowa State at that time, and he was the only one in the country of African-American to note that had that degree, advanced degree. And he could have easily have stayed at Iowa State and he could have had a comfortable position there.
But he wanted to bring it back home to his people, huh?
Yes, right. So when Booker T. Washington, Dr. Booker T. Washington, approached him and invited him to come to Tuskegee, he believed dearly in his heart that God had given him a mission, and that was the fulfillment when he was invited to come to Tuskegee. And he really didn't go there to really stay initially, because Carver's first love was art. His first major was art and music at Simpson College. So when he went to Tuskegee, he was an accomplished artist. But at that time, African Americans had no chance whatsoever, to make a living from painting or drawing. So one of his teachers at Simpson College, Etta Budd, encouraged him when she saw how detailed his paintings were in terms of plants, and he would paint from memory. And she said, "Well, you have a real detailed, mindset in terms of plants." And of course, he was called the plant doctor at an early age. So subsequently, he went to Iowa State. He left Simpson College in Iowa and went to Iowa State in Ames, and he pursued and achieved. He was the first African American student at Iowa State, the first to graduate from Iowa State, and the first on faculty at Iowa State.
That's some pretty good stuff. One thing that stood out in my mind is that you mentioned about the one-horse farming. I have a question. We have an image of the Jessup wagon in our slideshow, and I just wanted you to expound on what that photo is all about, or what the Jessup wagon was all about.
Okay, the Jessup wagon came about in 1903, 1904, when Booker T. Washington approached Dr. George Washington Carver and expressed interest in having a movable school. They understood that a lot of people who lived in rural Alabama were not able to come to the Institute at that time and get the information that they needed in order to get the most out of their crops, crop rotation, seeds, et cetera. So Dr. Booker T. Washington, as I call him, he brought the idea to Dr. George Washington Carver. And Carver actually drew a sketch. The sketch you see, the original sketch that you would see of the Jessup wagon, was designed by Dr. George Washington Carver. So in 1906, the wagon went into operation. In fact, it was May 1906 that the wagon went into operation, and the person that was the conductor of the wagon was named Thomas Monroe Campbell. Thomas Monroe Campbell was the first black extension agent for the USDA. And during the course of that summer, the Jessup wagon reached over 6,000 farmers in rural Alabama.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So that was very significant because, like I say, you had a movable school. you know, and it went right on the farm. It had all the, you know, the seeds, the information. And while I'm thinking about it, Dr. Carver not only taught crop rotation, scientific agriculture, self-sufficiency, and sound conservation ethics, but he also produced 44 bulletins, you know, in terms of exactly what to do, you know, what he, A to Z. Now, he was a person that ran the experimental station at Tuskegee, and experimental people who run experimental stations on universities, that's what one of their assignments is, to produce bulletins.
Okay,
you know,
that's,
for the
farmers. That's a great segue for my next question. Tell me about the early years of Tuskegee Institute and some of the things that were taught, you know, because a lot of folks, you know, think of Tuskegee Institute as just a university of higher, you know, education or what have you. But tell us about, again, the formative years of Tuskegee and how much of the research was actually put into play on a practical scale and on a large scale that infected the entire nation. If you could, again, tell us a little bit about that.
Well,
I'm
going to just mention this, and then you can go ahead with the history of Tuskegee. The bulletins that Yasir was talking about is one of them in particular was called How to Grow the Peanut and 105 Ways of Preparing It for Human Consumption. And that was produced, that was put out in 1925. The same year, Hershey Company came out with the Mr. Good Bar and the Hershey's Bar. And one of the 105 ways of preparing a peanut was, one of them was mixing peanuts with chocolate, which was done first by Carver. So I just wanted to bring out that fact as far as, you know, Mr. Good Bar is, you know, is widely known today.
Should be called the Carver Bar.
And, you know, they might have called it Mr. Good Bar in Arnon Carver. I don't know.
In reference, yeah, we don't know. Let me ask this question. We know, or some, just recently, some information has been leaking out, if you will, or just come across my desk, if you will, about Dr. Carver's role in the early automotive industry. Specifically with his relationship with Henry Ford. If you can tell us a little bit about that, please.
Okay, well, really, you know, a lot of people now are really coming up to speed in terms of biodiesel fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology, biodiesel technology, was preceded petroleum in the late 1800s. Henry Ford powered his T-Model Fords with ethanol from corn. But Carver taught Ford a process using peanut oil and soybean oil in terms of powering his T-Model Fords.
About what year was this, round about?
This was in the late early 1900s, you know, and the significant thing is the field of study at that time, which Carver really was at the forefront of, was called chemurgy. And chemurgy was using excess agricultural products for industrial uses. And and Carver's main idea was that nature produces no waste.
Wow.
So his whole thing was that it was man's inability to use what he would call waste that was the problem. So Carver never, you know, he was trying to always convert. He was one of the earliest conservationists to speak of.
Mm.
So what you have to remember is during Carver's era, Carver kind of like pointed the direction. You know, Carver was like a trailblazer a signpost, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because at Tuskegee, you have to remember, at Tuskegee, Carver had a limited budget and no staff. So until probably Curtis came along, it took him several years just to get a stenographer, you know, a typist, or somebody, some clerical assistant. So he was mainly doing a lot of things, you know, single-handedly, you know, and that was why a lot of things that he pointed out, other people took the lead and moved forward.
Got it. If you could, let's switch gears. Tell me about the color blue and its significance and impact and just what information you have on that, and also if it relates to Egypt at all.
Brother Young, that's his specialty.
All right.
Well, let me just tell you when we started this company, we actually went to Tuskegee to sell some products. So we were on our way driving down, and the spirit hit us, saying, "Hey, we need to make a film about Carver's life at Tuskegee." So we created this DVD led by the spirit from conception to deployment of actually completing this project, and it's called Facts on Carver, and we released it October 8th, 2010 of last year. This DVD basically gives you a snapshot of the life of Carver while at Tuskegee, from the time first time he stepped foot on campus until the time he died on campus. So we got footage shot on location at Tuskegee of the original train station he came in on and the at his gravesite. We got some footage of the museum shots of the Carver Museum also, but to talk about the hello
yeah, we're here.
Yeah, okay. To talk about the Egyptians, during the process of doing this DVD, we found out that Carver created a color blue that through his paint processes, which he used, he took dirt and made paint out of it from clay. And this was the same process that the ancient Egyptians used. And come to find out, he created this specific blue that was not found anywhere until they found the same color blue in King Tut's tomb.
Wow.
So that was the only other color, blue, that was ever created and was created by the ancient Egyptians. And now you have Egyptologists coming to Tuskegee studying Carver to see how he was able to make that connection to the ancient Egyptians. Because Carver, you know, my thing, Carver was on a high level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And he was operating on that high level consciousness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we finding out that his products are awesome. I mean, these same products that he produced he produced them from this high level consciousness.
Right.
And we finding out that these products not only work well, they work exceptionally well.
That's amazing.
So
can I jump back in? I don't want to cut you off while I'm thinking about it.
Well, let me just mention this. We got about 60 seconds left. Make your point quickly, and then also, most importantly, make sure we get the contact information so folks can get more of this good information and get some of these products in hand.
Okay. Well, let me say this real quick. We are open for the exhibit to travel anywhere anyone wants us to come. As John would give you, our website is www.4elements-ewaf.com. And, Jan, you give him the number, the phone number?
202-450-5498.
One more time, please.
202-450-5498.
All right. Awesome, awesome. Any final words either of you have that you'd like to share with those in the listening audience?
Well, let me say it was a pleasure, you know, being invited on your program, and it's virtually impossible to cover Carver's legacy in a short span of time.
I agree 100%.
And we certainly hope you will invite us back or even out to where you are at some point, and we can really, you know, show and talk about in further details of the legacy and life of Dr. George Weston Carver.
I appreciate that. Real quickly, I'm on the shot right now, and this one product has caught my eye, definitely, aside from the rubbing oil, the dirt shirt. Tell me what that's all about real quickly, please.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the dirt shirt really is a process. The process of the dirt shirt is where the arches from the clay is taken, and the same process Carver used to make paints is the same process as you that's used to make the color in the shirt. So that's a part of keeping the legacy alive. And one interesting thing is the person that's doing this process from Tuskegee, the clay and all is from right there in the bowels of the soil of Tuskegee. The person that's doing the shirts for us was my PE teacher when I was a student at Tuskegee Institute.
Ain't that something?
I just want to thank you also, but I just can I end with a quote from Carver?
Go right ahead.
On God and nature, he said, "I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting system through which God speaks to us every hour, if we will only tune in." Unquote.
I couldn't think of a better way to close the show. Thank you very much, good brothers.
I really appreciate
the time.
Okay, I hope to see you soon and hear from you soon.
All right now.
All right. Thanks, Sister Leslie, also.
I shall. All right now.
Appreciate it.